from PRX.
Friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time for the podcaster. I was trying to think of the last time I played mini golf, because this is the second episode of our series Multiplex, tentatively called, and I don't know when the last time I played mini golf was, but because my brain has many multicolored balls rolling around. And you say, isn't it supposed to be just one stroke at a time? And, but my brain, you know what I'm saying? My balls are out of order. I'm saying that with a grin, even though my mini golf, probably not like hard to use as a metaphor for a sleep podcast. Well, we could just agree on that. If you're new, welcome to Sleep With Me. It's a podcast that's here to put you to sleep, keep you company, and be your friend in the deep, dark night. This show is very, very different. It does take about two or three tries to get used to for a lot of listeners, just because it's so different, but it's friendly. And I'm here to kind of just to distract you from whatever's keeping you awake and let you ease off into sleep. So I'm glad you're here. If you're not sure about this show, that's pretty normal. That's for regular listeners. Over the years, I've just gotten that feedback. Didn't like it at first. I didn't get, when was the show going to start? Oh, it never gets, it's always never getting started. So just see how it goes if you're new. But I'm really glad you're here. I really hope I can help you fall asleep. The reason I make the show, I know how it feels not being able to sleep or dreading going to bed. And I know that something distracting and fun can offer some relief. And I also know you deserve some kind of relief in a bedtime you don't have to dread. So I'm glad you're here. If you knew what to expect, we got support coming up. That's how people get to experience the show. There's over 600 episodes ready to go, ad-supported shows. Then there'll be a long, meandering intro, which is separate from the support. And the intro is meant to kind of explain what the podcast is, but I go off track or off topic or both. And they're about 15 to 20 minutes long. And that's meant to ease you into bedtime or to put you at ease and give you a buffer as you're getting ready for bed before you go to sleep. Then there's support. Then tonight will be our episodically modular story, Multiplex, where it's just a group of like four people, friends, they had played a game of mini golf, and now they are talking, they're sitting at a picnic table talking, as far as someone's telling the tale from, there's a narrator, of course. So yeah, not bad. Then there's thank yous at the ancestor structure of the show and why I make the show. I'm glad you're here. And these sponsors are how we're able to do it for free twice a week. But this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, with just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead, start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answer to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show. If it was missing from my life, I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now if the answer is yes to those questions. So we don't have to go through, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. if you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. All right, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, one part of the podcast I need to want you to hear. It's where I pop my peas. If you please, I thank the listeners who supported the podcast. Right now, I'm looking for people to thank. If you supported a sponsor, please let them know about it. Let me know about it so I can thank you. Fill out the form at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. And if you're a first-time subscriber to Sleep With Me Plus, you never supported the show before, I want to thank you. And so let me know about it. Reply to one of our messages you get in Sleep With Me Plus and just say, hey, this is the first time I signed up because I listen on Spotify or I'm an international listener. I realize how important it is for me to support the show. So I finally signed up. I was so excited to hear about all this amazing content, how well organized it is, and to be a part of this new era of Sleep With Me. Let me know so I can thank you here on the Sleepy Supporter Zone, or share it on social media and I can try to thank you. That's the first part of Sleepy Supporter Zone. The second part is you getting the support you need right now. If you're in need of extra resources, there's links to extra resources in your show notes where you can connect with them, including international resources. It's about being a part of a community and positive change, not just saying Black Lives Matter, not just saying Stop AAPI Hate, not just saying Support Ukraine. Taking action, learning more, including our wish list for this season, but all year long. Right now, we've been working with supporting the Midnight Mission, supporting the Trevor Project, and supporting Hand in Hand. And, you know, that is related to a lot of what's going on in the world in different places. And so you could support one of those organizations and join us and learn more. And another community I support is a podcast community. And this is support back for my friend Craig and my friend Harris, who make the Sleep Whispers podcast and the Calm History podcast, always going out of their way to support Sleep With Me and show Sleep With Me love, and I love to be able to do it back. If you're looking for some extra sleep podcasts to supplement your listening, or you're talking about sleep podcasts to your family around the holiday season and in 2024, let them know. Sleep Whispers, an amazing podcast. Calm History, an amazing podcast. If they love history, definitely steer them towards Calm History, but Sleep Whispers is so much, so full of stuff. Both of them are amazing shows made by an amazing person, and I'll have links to both of those shows in our show notes. Mystery Bart, a lot of people help out on this show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Posterson.
Sounds like a near fall.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes too.
Carl W. The Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Ashley, Kenny, Scotty, Jennifer.
Runner.
Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bart.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
Jonathan Man.
I'll write a song for you.
Any reason at all.
You can tell me the story and
I'll make it personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud that we could dance. Rusty Biscuit, Lois, Anna like banana. Leah does the transcript.
Thanks, Mystery Bart. Don't forget, most comfortable way to listen to Sleep With Me is sleep phones. You could use Sleep With Me at checkout to get $5 off your order, but you got to use our link, sleepwithmepodcast.com/sleepphones. Thanks, everybody. Let's slow it down and get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever is keeping you awake. That could be thoughts, you know, things on your mind. So thoughts you're thinking about, thoughts, it could be feelings, anything coming up for you emotionally, feelings related to those thoughts or feelings about other stuff. It could be physical sensations. It could be changes in time, temperature, routine. You could be traveling. You could have visitors. You could have stuff going on, right? I'm here to take your mind off of whatever is keeping you awake. And the reason I make the show, and the reason I kind of go through, hey, maybe you work a different work schedule. Maybe you got something coming up for, you know, school. Maybe you're going through something that's not easy. I want to let you know you're not alone. And at first, that might seem strange to say on a podcast, because you say, yeah, but maybe this will help. Like whatever it is you're dealing with, whether it's just something transitory, temporary, or long-term, there's someone listening right now who's experienced something very similar or gone through something really closely to what you're going through. And they're leaning in right now. They're nodding their head. But then there's a lot of people, a large number of people, including myself, that we probably know how it feels or can relate to how it feels, even if we haven't been through the same thing. And we're like, I know I'm on the edge of my seat because I know how it feels. I really like, it's not easy. And I really hope this show can help because I've been there. And that's one of the most important things about the show. It's like, hey, you're not alone. There's other people out there who know how I feel. And maybe the people in your life, they don't quite get it because they sleep good. Right. And maybe they don't mean to be dismissive or whatever, or minimize things, but they do because they don't understand what it's like here. We get it. And we may not get it for everybody. That's why, you know, this podcast doesn't work for everyone. But I just want you to know that. And also, I mentioned earlier, you deserve a bedtime you don't have to dread. You deserve the rest you need so your life is manageable. More than that, you deserve the rest you need so you can be out there flourishing. And I hope this show can provide it for you. Now, if it can't, I can tell you that we have a website, sleepwithmepodcast.com/nothankyou. And you could go over there. There's other sleep podcasts and sleepy stuff on there. Just check one of those out and see if one of those can help you, because I hope they can. But give this show a few tries. It is very different. And the way it kind of works is I send my voice across the deep, dark night. I use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones and pointless meanders, which means I go off topic, I get mixed up, I repeat myself, then I go on a tangent about something I was repeating, then I forget what I was, like, I have no idea where I was, then I get distracted by another thought. And I don't know if your brain does that at bedtime or during the day, but it kind of is how mine works. But I'm a little bit more relaxed when I record the show because I'm here for you to be here, present in this moment, and to take some time. And this is my way of caring, and it's a different way of caring, right? But what I'm here to do is, and this is where it gets even more interesting. One of my forms of caring for you and helping you get to sleep is that you don't have to listen to me. You could kind of just barely listen to the show. You could not listen at all. You could put it at a mumble. You could pretend it's a TV on in the other room, or you could kind of pay attention, or you could just barely pay attention. That's how most people listen, I think. They just kind of pay attention, just like I'm just out of focus. Like they know I'm talking. Sometimes they are listening to the words and they're piecing it together. And then other times they're just kind of barely paying attention. And that's what I'm here for. You could listen to me, but you don't need to. And then the other thing is the second form of caring this podcast supplies is a surprise. I'm here. I've been making a sleep podcast for 10 years. I've seen the entire landscape of sleep audio change. And this show is not meant to put you to sleep. I'm here to keep you company while you fall asleep. I'm here to be your friend in the deep, dark night. There is no pressure to fall asleep with this show. I'm here to the very end because there's people listening who can't sleep at all or who need a break during the day. The reason the shows are over an hour is because if you're anything like me, you don't want to think about, well, what happens in 23 minutes when the birds stop chirping? How am I supposed to, what happens when there's the pause between the rain on my tent and when it repeats itself, why do I have to go actively exploring the forest for my glowing whatever it is? I can't do that. It's too performative for me. Now, there's people all that stuff works for, and we are happy for them. But this show is more about being a friend and a distraction outside of whatever's keeping you awake. You could just listen to me as you wish or when you wish, or if you need to, because I'm here for you. I'm here to talk to you and tell you a story, not to put you asleep, just to distract you as you fall asleep. I'm here to be your boyfriend, your boar bae, your boar sib, your boar bud, your boar bestie, your neighbor, your boar borber, your boar bee, your boars, your boar bruh, your boar sib, your boar cuz, your boyfriend, your friend in the deep dark night who keeps you company. I don't bring any crumbs. You know, I'm not chopping ice or whatever. Can you imagine that? That would be something I would have done if the sleep pod, like as I've learned how to make a show over the history of the podcast. I never did this just because it would show up on the mic. But like, imagine if I was chewing ice and then somebody had to send me, Scoots, by the way, don't chew ice while you're trying to put me to sleep. If I did it in person, I'd probably need those cues. So, I'm here to keep you company and take your mind off stuff as you fall asleep. It does take some getting used to for those two ideas. And it also takes some getting used to just the whole concept of the show. It's a podcast you don't listen to. It doesn't put you to sleep. Most people don't like it on the first listen. And the second listen, this is just a different thing. Also, the structure of the show really throws people off. So let me give you some more good news. Our show is designed in a very intentional way, but we found over the years, and especially last year where we got a great survey from people, like how people listen to the podcast. And so we've designed the structure of the show around that, but I'll kind of tell you why and then how you could adjust. So the show starts off with a greeting. Friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. That's so you feel seen and welcomed in and you say, hey, I might listen to that show. Or if you're a returning listener, what's up? Good to see you again. It's something familiar and different every time, like a welcoming. You say, hey, glad you're here. Come on in. We got your spot ready. Kind of like I'm a maitre d' in this case. And I'm like, yeah, your favorite table's already ready. And come on in. We've got it. We've been waiting for you. And so glad you're here. We got our, you know, the temperature's just right. You know, we got your favorite napkins. You know, we know that Scoots, you know, asks for tepid water, but we know how your water, you know, we've got everything set up for you. Then there's support, like sponsor support. And that's because most people prefer to just listen linearly. And they like the passive aspect of that. Hey, the sponsors and the people that support the sponsors make the show, and I can just listen to it. Okay, and then after that is an intro. And if you'd rather, there's plenty of ways if you'd prefer ad-free experience to do that, including for free by referring people to the show. So if you're not in a financial position, you could join our referral program. But yeah, then there's an intro, a long meandering intro, which is separate from the support. And I just want to point that out because sometimes when people are upset about the support, then they lump the intro in with it. And the intro is really a show within a show. It has nothing to do with the support of the show, and it's not self-congratulatory or it's self-referential for sure. You got me. But the intro is where I try to explain what the podcast is, and I don't do it in a successful or efficient way. But there's also another motivator, which is all the research around sleep, all of my personal experience around sleep, and all of the feedback I've gotten around sleep. There's usually one or two consistent themes in there, and one of them is having a wind-down routine and having a wind-down time. And that's what the intro is for. So there are people that would prefer story-only episodes, and then you could do that by subscribing, you know, skipping ahead, or I think that's like 2% of people just skip ahead to the show, and maybe a smaller percentage of people support the show and just have access to a story-only version of the podcast. Yeah, the intro is meant to ease you into bedtime. So some people are skipping ahead. Some people are in bed getting comfortable. A couple percentage of people are asleep. But we're happy for them and all the partners and snoring dogs and cats and other animals. We're so happy for you. My fingers are totally not crossed at all. I mean, they're not crossed just because you know what I mean. We're just happy, mostly happy, kind of barely happy for you. But so for most people, they're either getting ready for bed, getting in bed, getting comfortable, or doing some chill wind down activity, even if it's just lying there looking at stuff or whatever. So just kind of see what works for you. But that's what the intro is. It's not so much meant to put you to sleep as to ease you into bedtime. Then there's support, and then there'll be our bedtime story. It'll be our ongoing episodically modular series multiplex. And that'll be what, like 40 to 50 minutes, maybe sometimes even longer. And that'll be a nice bedtime story where there'll be a lot of meandering and speeches and exposition. Maybe a backstory or two. I don't know yet. I haven't recorded it. And then there's thank yous at the end of the show. So I think that's it. That's the structure of the show. It's why I make the show. And yeah, the only advice I have is give it a few tries, see how it goes. If it doesn't work for you, I'm sorry. Like, that's why I have sleepwithmepodcast.com/no thank you setup. And I do promote other sleep podcasts on the show from time to time too. But, yeah, just see how it goes. So like, cause most people that are regular listeners of the show, they said, oh, I was looking for something. I didn't know I was looking for something like this, but this is what I was looking for. Just a friendly voice that's a little bit goofy and that's almost barely engaging, barely humorous, barely entertaining. Those are rave reviews for Sleep With Me. I laughed, but I don't remember what I laughed at, and I barely laughed. And I remember, I thought I remembered something about what they talked about, but I don't remember that. Because I barely listened. I mean, literally, this is a rave review too, just to close out, because I talk about it a lot. It is probably monthly. Someone will decide to financially support the show. They will send me an email thanking me, and they'll share their story of how strongly they disliked the podcast when they first listened. And for some people, that might have been in like high school, and now they're in their first or second job, or, you know, maybe they were at a job, and then now they're in a different job or they're retiring. But they say, man, I listened to the show and I loathed it. And then and then someone else recommended it, or I thought about it again and I just tried it again. And then I wasn't sure. And then I realized, oh yeah, this is a podcast you're never sure about. Because what was my point? See, here you go. What was my point of bringing that up? Oh, that's like a rave review. That's a common rave review. I did not like this podcast. Now, there is a percentage of people that I also hear from, not like maybe four times a year, that say, hey, on the first try, it really worked. And then there's people that didn't hear the no thank you part. Those are the people I hear from. Like, I hear from people that are regular listeners, like a good amount too. Hey, this is my story. Thanks for making the show. This is why I decided to support you. Or I just have some kind words for you. Yeah, and there's probably, I mean, realistically, yeah, equal amount of people who didn't hear. Just go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/no thank you. I want to help introduce you to another show. They want to let me know. Maybe they don't hear that part. So, yeah, but I get it. Like, I can't, you know, when I can't sleep, I can't sleep either. And when I find something I like, like, this is like a melon ball or so, like, I don't know, like some candy. I talk about this a lot, but you're like, you look at the candy, like it's wrapped and it's some strange color, like the color of honeydew really isn't maybe good in a couple other contexts, but in a hard candy, you'd be like, I don't know about that, man. No thanks. So you got to try this. It doesn't taste like honeydew, even though it looks like honeydew. Well, what does it taste like? It tastes melony, but not like no, I don't need that candy, man. And then you open the candy, and then sometimes you're like, okay, this is interesting. But and then, you know what I'm saying? That's what Sleep With Me is like. Not a great sales pitch, but we're a show that just doesn't work for everybody. But if it works for you, and for some people, it's only a little while. And for some people, it becomes a part of their life. And most people, it's in between. Like I said, most people, they just listen along. They listen linearly. And it helps them. So I don't know if it'll help you or not, but I'm glad you're here. I'm glad that I get the chance to help you. Because what I can tell you is I know how it feels to really want some help getting some sleep like this. Yeah, this week. So I'm glad you're here. I work really hard. So do a bunch of other people. And we all yearn and strive and really hope we can help you fall asleep. Thanks again for coming by. And here's a couple of ways we're able to do it for you for free twice a week. All right, everybody. I want to thank Claire and tonight's sponsor for supporting this episode and providing me with some samples. You know, I suffer from seasonal allergies. Not only do they get in the way of me living my life, they get in the way of me making this podcast to put you to sleep. Because when those allergies are really kicking in, I sound weird and I do not feel good at all. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. The double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. And that's what I like about Claritin D. It covers all those bases. For me, I love the relief from the runny nose and the sinus pressure. Holy cow. Those two things combined, I'm like the worst two symptoms I have at the exact same time. So I love the relief Claritin brings. And I've been taking Claritin D this spring for this allergy season. And it's been a game changer because I can go out on my runs and on my trail runs and not have to worry about, am I going to be able to record the podcast tomorrow because my nose is running and my sinuses are clogged? Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Air Doctor. There's an Air Doctor humming in the other room right now. You can't hear it, but I know it's there. And I know it's going to be smoky season here in the Bay Area, not to mention they live by a freeway and a cement plant. And so I love the peace of mind and the easy use that the Air Doctor brings because it just works. It's one of those things, it just works. And you may hear me say this, and I mean it. I love my Air Doctor because Americans spend 90% of our time indoors. We take about 20,000 breaths a day. And according to the EPA, indoor air can be as much as 100 times more polluted than outdoor air. And just in my house, that's about 60,000 breaths a day between my daughter, my dog, Koa, and I. And I'm so happy. Air Doctor filters out dangerous contaminants and allergens such as pollen, pet dander, dust mites, and mold so my lungs don't have to. Neither do your lungs. And the things I love about Air Doctor, one, it has a night mode where you could turn off all the lights. It has auto mode or you could set the fan speed for what works for you. And I like to have my hair cleaned everywhere, in my room, in my daughter's room, and upstairs in our living room. I really believe you'll love it as much as I do. And they have a bunch of amazing options too now. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. So head to airdoctorpro.com and use the promo code SLEEP, and you'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers. And exclusive to podcast customers, you will receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. So lock in this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com. That's AirDoctorPro.com and use that promo code SLEEP. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, Scoots here, and this is our episodically modular series multiplex, where we take a trip into the world of multiplexes and... it should be fun. I'm going to catch you up on most, I think the narrator will catch up on most of the details, but it's a pretty simple story so far. Three friends, high school seniors, it seems like, were playing a game of mini golf. Josie, Wyatt, and Santos. And they all seem to be pretty successful, high-achieving teens, though it seems like Wyatt had recently learned something about a scholarship, not getting a scholarship. And they're playing a game of mini-golf to kind of both to celebrate their seemingly impending graduation, but also to kind of because of why it didn't get the scholarship. They're imagining they're playing this competitive mini golf game to get the course record, and that Wyatt would win a scholarship money. Also, Wyatt's sister is a holder of the course record. And as they were playing the game, Wyatt was getting closer and closer, felt realer, more real, realer and realer to where Wyatt was going to win and take the course record from his sister. But then someone appeared out of a culvert, which is kind of like where a creek runs under a highway or a road. And they made a noise, and it was someone from their school, the corncob kid, Boyd. And that threw Wyatt off, and Wyatt did not break the course record. But they were, you know, they were really nice about it. I mean, they were upset. Wyatt was upset, but they said, "Hey, Boyd, come on over." And as far as I know, they sat down and started to have a conversation. And that's, I think, where we'll return to the tale. But first, a person who, you know, if I had a tail, it would be Wagon. As soon as I knew, you know how, like, dogs, at least, they know. I mean, this is purely speculation, but I imagine their tail starts wagging. My tail, if I had a tail, it would start wagging right when, what's that called? Santinella, I think, when Antonio Banderas crossed over, like past Anderson Pea Soup in Santinella or Los Baños. Those are stops on the freeway that Antonio traverses on the way here. And now to set up our new series, episode 2, that you can listen to in any order because it's episodically modular, is our Hollywood announcer, Mr. Antonio Banderas. Thank you, Scooter. The friends beyond the binaries, the ladies, the gentlemen. So, boys and girls, it's time to go to the movies with Multiplex. Yeah. Thanks, Antonio. That was definitely different than we've ever had before. I like it. And yeah, that's Mr. Antonio Banderas. This is Multiplex, everybody. Good evening, everybody. My name's Wyatt. And I've been recording these recollections of a time long ago in my life, a long time ago, in what seemed like a galaxy far, far away, hardy har har. At a time in my life, I was on a precipice, and I didn't know where that would take me. And this is a story, I guess it's a long story, of how to become a person among persons. So many tales of people flying high or going low and then going back up. But how do you end up in that middle, in the nice middle? And what does it take to get there? The adventure of being among a person among people, the undersold adventure. But the irony is this is a true adventure that brought us to that place. And I think where I left off, my friends and I were sitting at a picnic table near the snack bar of Fairview Mini Golf or Fair Glen. Man, I can't even remember Mini Golf in its own Glen. My two best friends, Josie and San, and a classmate of ours known as the Corncob Kid, Boyd. And Boyd had recently appeared out of a culvert that ran like where the glen, I guess a fair, like the creek that runs through the mini golf course, separating the front nine from the back nine and giving it a nice picturesque feel, as well as little bridges to go over. Eventually, that creek doesn't just end at the end of the mini golf course. It goes under the, I don't even know what road that is, Fairview Glen Boulevard. So it's six to eight lane road in two directions, but a road, not a highway, boulevard. But it's not a unless boulevard means that it has something in the middle, but I think that's a parkway. But underneath it is a culvert, a pretty big one, because while this creek is not a river or a stream, I guess technically it could be a stream. It's somewhere between a creek and a stream. And it was in that culvert that the corncob kid made some noise or banged something metal and distracted me from my quest to be the to have the course record at this mini golf course, to take it from my sister and to imaginarily win a full scholarship to school that I needed or why at the time I felt like I needed. And I don't know if last time I totally recollected why Boyd was called the Corn Cob Kid, but it was because Boyd throughout, and it's interesting because it's related to the subject at hand. Boyd always had a corn cob pipe, but not, he didn't have a, did a boy, I don't think Boyd's nose was button nose and his eyes were eyes. But once upon a time when I was a lad and Boyd was a lad, but people smoked pipes and not the little pipe, you know, like they smoked tobacco out of pipes. And some, and there was stores, shopping malls, like the one we're about to talk about, where people would go and buy tobacco and pipes and pipe accessories. I can't remember what the pipe shop's called right this second. But they would either give away or at a huge discount sell little corn cob pipes, not to high schoolers, no, but to kids, to parents, and say, hey, give your kid a corn cob pipe. It's a little one. Not, but strangely enough, I never saw a bubble pipe at any of those places, but they were training you early, but more to emulate, you know, I don't think you could, I don't know. We never tried smoking anything out of a corn cob pipe, believe it or not. But Boyd always had the corn cob pipe on him, or a corn cob pipe. I think even in high school, because he was known as a corn cob kid. I think there's other reasons too, but I can't remember right now. You know, time escapes me week to week, day to day. But that's why Boyd was known as a corn cob kid. He always had a corn cob pipe, and he had a corn. You know, and if you're a corn cob kid, you got a sense of style that fits. The nickname fits the person. The person fits the nickname. I don't know which comes first. The other thing we had noticed when we saw Boyd, and I don't know who said it, was like, what are you going on, an Alpine expedition? Because Boyd had on this gigantic backpack, and it was stuffed. And Boyd sat down, and after we got through the niceties and me expressing my displeasure at Boyd surprising us and throwing off my game and my attempt at the course record and an imaginary full-ride scholarship, we said, where are you coming from? What are you doing in there? You know, first it was that kind of stuff. Boyd laughed and started to open up the backpack. And he said, Dr. Julius's juice. And we said, Dr. Julius's juice. And he pulled out this giant can, one of those big cans you find in a high school cafeteria full of beans or full of tomato sauce. I believe they're called number 10 cans, but don't quote me on it. He plunked it down on the picnic table, and everything we had on the picnic table jumped due to the weight of this can. It was heavy. We all tried to lift it. He said, it's concentrate, Dr. Julius's juice concentrate. And Josie was like, isn't that the store at the mall? Like, that had like milk and orange juice or something weird mixed together? Boyd chuckled and said, yeah, no, that's it. The mall drink. Boyd patted the top of the container and said, this will make 100 glasses of Dr. Julius's juice. And, you know, we looked at each other. And, you know, Corn Cob Kid was an interesting kid. But we said, you carry your own juice concentrate around in a backpack when you're hanging out in a culvert. I don't know. We had no idea, right? You must really love you. Do you bring your own can? Like, do you mix your own cans? And Boyd held up his hand and said, did that thing where you rub your, he said, I love my money, man. And he said, I sold this can for $50. And we said, 50, what? Like just probably your react. Wait a second. You sold a can. You have a can of juice concentrate from a mall store that doesn't exist anymore. And where'd you even get that? And he said, the mall. And so we'll get to it, but the mall, the closed mall? And he said, this is already sold to give me my juice dog or something. He said, some one word, run on word. So who's that? It's a profile name, Boyd said, from a message board or bulletin board. I don't know what they called them back then. Online, Boyd said. Or I don't know, I can't remember what they used to call it back. You know, words get confused as they change names. But Boyd was into this stuff before it was even the internet. And he said, yeah, this is where when juice is on your mind. And we said, what? And he said, this is an online, or, again, this is just my explanation of it in the present day, online bulletin board, like a forum or a Discord. For fans of Dr. Julius J. Juice, he said, $50? And he said, yeah, no. He goes, and there's hundreds of cans just waiting for me to take them. Just waiting, Boyd said. He said, in the mall, it's stealing, isn't it? You're stealing cans from the mall? And I don't know, San or Josie said, it's looting, I guess, technically. Boyd said, the mall's been closed for 6 years, over 6 years. Dr. Julius J. Juice declared bankruptcy over 3 years ago. He said, any claims on their property have been resolved a long time ago. I mean, technically, we would have to wait 10 years, but it's all settled. I looked it up, and we said, online, and Boyd said, yeah. And Boyd tapped the can again. He said, this is abandoned merchandise. And then we were like, wait, but didn't the government, like, fund or super, you know, the mall, like, isn't the mall the government's property now? Is it who is it anyway? Like, isn't it, like, what about all the stuff they say about the mall, man? Like, and Boyd shrugged and said, well, if it's government, if government owns the mall, then this is all our property, huh? Like, but he goes, no, this is just left behind, forgotten. It's like, it's going and fishing stuff out of the garbage, more or less. If I was to go into the garbage and take an ice cream cone, you guys wouldn't like me doing that, but you wouldn't have a problem with it. It's the same thing. We all sat there for a minute trying to process it all. And Boyd said, if only I had a truck, I could get it out, man. $50 a pop. We're like, well, how many are there? And Boyd said, at least 20 cases, 12 cans to a case. He goes, but they're stacked up, so I don't know how many cases, how far it goes back. But definitely 20 cases. We're like, is this even, he goes, it's a sealed can. None of them, he goes, if it was dented, I wouldn't sell it, or I'd sell it as dented for $25. And so we started to do the math. I don't even know, math's not my strong suit anymore. Calculation, 200, let's see, 20 times 12 equals times 50, $12,000. And he said, yeah, at least $12,000. Boyd said, I'm willing to split it with all of you, 50-50. And we said, wouldn't it be 25-20? And he said, no, 50 for me and 50 for the three of you to split. And I was like, well, it sounds risky, you know. I don't know about this. None of us did, right? And Boyd said, well, it's simple. We go back through the culverts, take a turn. We'll come out right near the entrance to Dr. Julius J. Juice. He goes, I got a padlock on the door. He goes, the front of the store is cut off. We just go in the back door, go back, then go into the store, then go into the storage area. He goes, take the cases out, carry them back in. He goes, it'll take us a few trips. Then we'll relocate them closer to where we could park a truck. Then we'll load the truck up, and we're good to go. Yeah, it's gonna be some work. I don't know if you all look like you could handle it, but yeah, it'll take a few hours. And he goes, there might even be like another way we could find to park the truck closer. But he goes, yeah, no problems at all. And he goes, we just take our time. Most of it will be underground. He goes, we'll have everything stored. I'm thinking 5 hours tops. If we do it tonight, no one will even know. And we go, well, but what if we do get caught? And he's like, by who? Like, I've been poking around down there. I haven't seen anybody. And I'll sell them. You could even hold on to them if you don't trust me. You know, you could hold them as leverage. And as I sell them, we'll split the money. It's like one of those win-win-win situations. And this isn't like your fake contest to win an imaginary scholarship. This is real currency. And the words came out of my mouth before my brain even, I said, I'm in. Instantly, before I thought about it, before I even processed it, I had spoken, and San and Josie just looked at me, kind of slack-jawed, and moving their mouths, like trying to process what was happening, a little bit like a dream. And then Josie eventually said, we're in, and pulled Josie's keys out and put them on the table because Josie had a pickup. We can use my truck once we have the boxes. And then we said, so what's next? What do we do next? And Boyd said, well, we should probably leave here and then come back. Maybe, I don't know, what do you guys have, a story? I'm good for the night. And so we went and moved the cars and the truck down the street and called our parents and covered for one another for sleepovers. But, you know, we were already seniors, so it's a pretty standard process we had done before. And we waited for the mini golf to shut down. And believe it or not, we didn't even have to really go on the mini golf's property because up along the side of the road, you know, the road is about, the parking lot started at road surface, but there's a trail like run along the side of the road that sloped down as the slope of the road into the glen, but on the outside of the mini golf property. Never even realized that or that there was even a little fence there. So technically we weren't even sneaking into the mini golf course. And we decided that, yeah, we'd just pull the truck up and care. This would be our last stage. And Boyd even had a couple blankets and said, we can even hide the stuff and move, you know, if we don't get it done, don't worry, we'll be fine. And so we went into the culvert. We did get, you know, this is one of those situations where your feet and your ankles are going to get wet, but it was a nice out, warm enough night. Water was pretty warm. And Boyd went up and after you went into the culvert, which is wide enough for three people to stand side by side, standing up. This is a big one. Like about 5 feet in was a barred gate. And it had a lock on it. Looked like something out of like an old Western movie where people would be behind it. And a couple of us gulped. And then Boyd pulled out a wrench and started wrenching the bar all the way on one side, wrenching, like reaching around the back and unscrewing these bolts and eventually just pushed the bar away, took it off and shoot us through. And then Boyd started putting the thing back. We said, what are you doing? You're going to keep us in here? And Boyd said, don't worry, it's just, I won't fully like wrench it back up. I'm just going to do it one finger turn. If anybody looks in here or tries, they'll just see the bars. Even if they tap it, it'll feel solid. But if you want to, if we decide to leave or you decide to leave them, you just unscrew these two bolts and pull the bar off. Now, I guess at the time I hadn't seen the ingenuity of Boyd, a corncob kid, as somebody kind of wrote off a lot of the time. Somebody that's like 17 years old and still carrying a corncob pipe. You wonder where they're going, but Boyd would end up being incredibly successful in real estate and finance and all that kind of stuff. But it was also this solid reminder that there was a rule we were breaking or bending, that we were taking some kind of risk, you know, and that this was real versus the game of golf we just played, which was more imaginary. But also, in a sense, these were like guardrails, right? The whole purpose of this gate wasn't to do any kind of locking. It was just to say, hey, not a good idea coming under here. And we talked about that, but Boyd said, yeah, there's, the weather's dry. You could see there's the water lines. The highest they go is like to our calves, and everything else is fine. So, and Boyd said, also, don't worry, you'll see right through. Because even if we went in, it wasn't totally dark. Not that far down on the other end was light coming in. And another big hole. So we headed in that direction. And we said, is that where we're going, Boyd? And Boyd said, no, that's the view of the mall. That's where the most of the water empties out. We're going to turn up here. There's a couple turns we got to take. And then we passed an opening on our right, opening that kind of seemed like it was getting a little smaller. But Boyd said, yeah, if we want to look at the mall first, you could see where we're going. No worries. And this was the water from Fair Glen, you know, the water we just played mini golf over. So we walked to the end, and there was another set of bars and a pretty steep view where the water kind of flowed out of the culvert and then waterfalled down and became, went down to a grate and then went under the ground, presumably under the mall. I didn't even think about it till this minute. Water went somewhere else at that point. This was the end of the glen. But we had this amazing view up high because we were just below the road of the mall, which was probably 30, 50, 100 feet down and a couple football fields or parking lots away. And this was one of these malls, you know, that time had left behind, even in our time when malls were popular. It wasn't big enough. It didn't have enough space, or I don't know, or maybe it was like a developer. I don't know the history. I just know the Sib Mall had been closed, as Boyd said, for 6 years. It was a mall of our youth, not our pending adulthood. But it was kind of struck by how it's kind of somewhat sad looking. It looked like a low warehouse, but it didn't look that different. There was still a lot of the signs were up, but they were, you know, falling to pieces. Everything was just a little faded, but not like in the movies. You know, the parking lines a little faded, the signs. The windows. It still looked like a mall, though. The only thing that wasn't faded was the fencing. The mall was surrounded by a fence, a tall metal fence that looked fairly new. And as I was looking at the fence, Sand said, barbed wire, fence is topped with barbed wire to keep people out, Boyd. Like, see, this is not a great idea. Why would you surround a mall with fence and barbed wire to keep people out if you, it doesn't matter? And Boyd said, it's because they don't want people coming in and messing around in there. They don't want anybody, like, slipping, you know? But the thing was, there was two sets of fences. One kind of had a distance through the middle of the parking lot and one a little bit further in. And that's where Josie said, but the second fence, the barbed wire is facing in. Like, what's up with that? That doesn't make any sense. It's like if you were trying to keep people in. Boyd pish-poshed Josie, right? Probably got a discount. I don't know. Maybe it's a mistake. It doesn't really matter. We don't need to worry about the fences. We're going under the fence. We're going to come out on the other side of the mall, right by Dr. Julius J. Juice. There's nothing to be concerned about. It's going to be fine. But I could feel the tension, right? I didn't really have to wait for it to resolve. Because I still felt Sam move closer to me and put his hand on my shoulder and said, "Listen, I can't go because my scholarship is like contingent on and Josie said, "I can't twist my ankle or anything, so I can't go either. And the same thing, there's like it's a morality clause on mine. They could withdraw my admission and everything, so I can't go either. And Josie put her keys in my hand and said, you take it. And then Sam said, listen, this will be easier anyway, because we were going to let you keep the money. Now you won't have to argue with us about it. It'll be 50-50 between the two of you. And we'll help you move the boxes and load the truck and stuff. But then you two keep the money. It's like you got the course record. This didn't happen by accident. And I looked back at the mall and noticed that the skylights had a tinge of green, like a little moss or algae was growing on them. And I just kind of stared at them. And I don't know, I said, why, are you okay? Are you okay? And I said, yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah, let me take your thanks. It's cool. Like, we'll get it. I kind of felt like it jumped already. I don't know that sense, but I took the keys, I put them in my pocket. I said, why don't you two go back, and what if we just meet at BK for breakfast at 6:30? And we looked at our watches. They gave me and Boyd plenty of time, or even if we weren't done, you know, and then don't worry. If you don't see us by 8:30, you know, come look for us, you know, how to get back in and everything. We kind of gave hugs all around, a little bit longer hugs, or I don't even know if the corncob kid gave any hugs or just a shrug and a nod. And they started to walk off. I could hear their footsteps plopping for a little while behind us. But Boyd and I turned back towards the mall. And Boyd said, don't worry. Really, it's going to be fine. We're going to come out over there. We're going to go. I'll go unlock the door. We'll go in, and we'll just start moving boxes. Simple as that. We'll move them in. And I said, well, where does it come out? And he said, something stuck in the side of a hill. Don't worry. It's going to be fine. Easy stuff. We'll bring everything into the first tube. We'll have everything loaded and spread out. Then we'll carry stuff back here. Then we'll carry stuff closer to the entrance. And then we'll see what time it is, and we'll decide if we should load the truck now or later. We could even take turns hanging with the stuff if we need to. But I don't see it being a problem. So let's get started. So then we turned back. Now, looking back at it, you know, I just saw the bars and the hole that went in back into the mini golf. But that didn't strike me as important at that moment. And we headed off, and that's when I started to hear something as we approached the turnoff, which was now on our left. And it was something like a wind, but if a wind could talk, like if the wind was wailing, a sound like that. And I said, but Boyd, do you hear that? And Boyd said, yeah, it's a wind. I said, it sounds like a voice in the wind. And Boyd said, okay, let's stop. And at first we heard some splashing. And then Boyd said, listen, like, and then that wind sound had stopped. And Boyd said, what do you hear now? I said, cars, honk. Boyd said, I hear a dog barking. I think I hear kids playing, but I don't know if that's real. And then the sound started up again. And it didn't feel that far, like right at the turnoff, but a little ways in or something. It was darker in there. But Boyd pulled out a flashlight and said, don't worry. It's probably just a wind. I don't remember hearing it before, but I wasn't really listening when I was by myself, which is kind of weird. I was barely paying attention. I was just enjoying the sights. And Boyd said, yeah, we're going to go up here. And we definitely want to stay left at this next cross and not turn. We were staying left, and it was good because the sound was coming from the right, the wind sound. And Boyd said, see, it's down that way. And that's when I heard something like all in a row, like a swish, a splat, an ugh, an ah, an oh, and I recognized the voices. San and Josie, and then they were calling to us because it sounded like San was. They said, "Hey, get over here, quick as quick as possible." They were saying it in a more active, louder way. And Boyd and I sprung into action, right? And we headed. Boyd flashed his flashlight. We saw Josie was holding on to the side of the culvert where the ribs are, the ribs in those old metal tubes, and reaching Josie's hand out and holding on to San's hand, who has, and Boyd said, there's a slide down there, it's a drop off. Now it was an angled drop off, I guess like a slide, like Boyd had said. And Josie was hanging on, and we were rushing towards Josie when then Josie just slipped. Josie was hanging on to San so much. And first Josie went to her knees, but then slid over the slide too. And I caught her hand. And we were all struggling, but we're all in pretty fair shape. And I could feel, because the ground is wet and kind of water's there and it's swampy and stuff like that. And Boyd said, don't worry, grab my belt. And Boyd threw, there was these, I didn't even realize it, other pipes, water pipes or something, run along the roof. And Boyd even had a rope in that backpack and threw the rope over the pipes and started to tie it, secured around Boyd's forearm. But at this point, I was sliding over. Boyd said, don't worry. And then San slid and said, whoa. And of course I was like, oh boy, oh no, And I'm trying to hold on to Josie and Josie's expressing, but we could hear San. And San said, I'm okay. I'm down. It's not that much further down. And Josie said, okay. And then, of course, I lost Josie's grip. But Josie was ready and kind of slid on her butt and with her feet below her. And Boyd was flashing the light down. And we could see them. And they're about 15 feet down a slide. I don't know, not a 45-degree angle, but maybe. And so Boyd said, don't worry, I got the rope. We'll go down and then we'll pull each other up. And it was slick, but the rope was good. So Boyd and I started to kind of rappel down. It was more like slowly sliding our feet and holding on to the rope. But when we're about halfway down, all of a sudden there was a jerk in the rope and then the rope went slack and we fell to our backs and our butts and slid all the way down. And it ended up that one of the pipes had broken and water started rushing down on us. And we jumped up and everybody, we were patting each other, checking each other, making sure we were all intact. And I think it was San tried to climb back up. The rope had come all the way down. And Boyd tried to throw the rope up a few times. And said, we're not going to get back up there. It's fine, though. This is all interconnected down here. It'll be fine. We got the light. But, of course, the flashlight started to fail, too. But it didn't totally go out. It just started to dim. And we all got a little irritable. What, you didn't charge your flashlight? What are you doing, man? You're leaving us out here without working flashlights? Boyd said, don't worry. I'm good at this. Don't worry. And Boyd said, okay, let's walk through where we are, and then we'll figure out where we're going. We'll come out near the mall. We'll either go back and start again tomorrow, or we'll keep going, and we'll find our way back to where we started. And so we kind of started to map out where we were compared to the road. We had turned and then turned again. And it was like, okay, we kind of slid down back towards the road, but then it curved around to the left again. And Boyd said, yeah, we could go right. And that'll head back. Maybe we're under the road. Maybe we're under the glen. I don't know where that goes. And then if we go to the left, we're going like not towards the mall, but Boyd said, I don't know. Well, I'd say we go left. And then if not, we can come back and go right. And at this point, we walked a little bit, but Stan and Josie again, because they had already decided to leave and that had been prevented. And it was getting a little cold. They kind of went on some, they expressed some displeasure. And they said, you know, like, what are we doing down here? What if the stuff they said about, wasn't the mall closed because, you know, giant mega corporations underneath the mall had stored stuff and that stuff, you know, wasn't that why the mall closed? Not because of finances. You know, what I heard they were storing, you know, what if they were really storing UFOs? You know, all these outlandish theories. And Stan was talking about DNA and all those kind of things. Then we reached another turnoff. Now, this one definitely turned left back towards the mall, if we were correct. And then straight ahead continued on what I would say. I don't know if it was north of the mall, but on the far side of the mall, continuing on straight ahead. And again, Boyd stopped and tried to build consensus and said, okay, I'm about 90% sure if we take this way, we're headed right back towards the mall. Now, we're below where I would have normally come out, but either there's going to be an upswing or, we'll figure it out as we go. And I don't know if Josie and Sam were just trying to be contrarian, but they said, no, let's go this way and get out of here. I kind of felt like I was caught in the middle. And they said, let's just try to get out of here, not go to the mall. I think this is best to forget the mall, forget your juice, just get out of the mall, and then we can you guys can do this tomorrow without us, because we'd like to get out of here. And so we stood in this this turning point, I guess, for a minute. And Boyd said, okay, let's think about it. And that's when I noticed, I said, okay, wait a second. The air coming from the non-mall direction, I stepped towards it a little bit, and it stunk like wet garbage, and it was a little bit humid. And then I stepped into the tube that headed towards the mall, and it was a little bit drier and maybe smelled a little plastery or like old paint, but that was about it. And I said, can you smell what's coming from that direction? It smells like nasty, and this way smells drier and not as bad. I said, which way would you want to go based on that? And again, San and Josie were not happy about it. But I said, come on, let's just go this dry way and see where we come out. And then actually I said, how did you guys get lost when you, like, how did we get down here anyway? Like, how did you guys get lost when you were, because you just had to walk straight to exit. Like, how did you end? How did you end up where, like, and they said, we were going to surprise you too. We were making that noise because we wanted to mess with you and we thought it'd be hilarious. And then we were going to leave. And we were planning on sneaking up on you and then going. So sorry about that. And I think acknowledging that gave them some ownership over the situation. But they kind of did a sorry, not sorry thing. And so there we were in this tunnel. We headed in the direction back towards the mall. And we were trying to wonder how far down we were. But really, it was like we were up. So eventually, we would have had to go down anyway. And we didn't realize that at the time. So it was like, actually, we're probably down at mall or below mall level. And Boyd said, yeah, exactly. We would have had to go down it the other way anyway. So we're right where we're supposed to be. And as we went this way, it got drier and drier and drier. And kind of clean, I mean, not shiny clean, but cleaner and cleaner and cleaner. And eventually, It ended at an end, but there was a ladder up, right? And it was like this mechanical thing to open these two doors. And Boyd said, let's give it a try and see. And it took some work and it took a teamwork to get these two doors open, but they kind of popped open above us, just a short ladder too. And it was kind of in this darkish hallway. And it was like, is this the mall or somewhere else? And then we kind of listened. And again, we heard some wind sounds, but not human wind sounds. And Boyd said, I think this is the mall. Like, this is like one of the maintenance corridors or something. And so we climbed out and we closed up the door, but we just stuck, we found, you know, there's like stuff lying around on the floors and stuff. So Boyd shoved some cardboard just so we'd have some confidence we could get the doors back open if we needed to and go under. And Boyd said, all right, let's find a map. We started to look on the walls and we moved slowly. And it's definitely like those high ceilings you could move product through. And Boyd said, okay, this isn't on the same side of the mall as Dr. Julius Juice because that empties out right into the parking lot. But we'll find a map and we'll figure out where we are and then we'll assess things. And then we were like, have you been in any other parts of the mall, Boyd? And Boyd said, no, just Julius. That was the only door I could get open. I haven't got into this part of the mall before, but now I know how to get here. I will. And we noticed like in the hall were like all these posters, like, and they looked like they are to celebrate the trick or treat season, but they weren't super old. But again, it was so dark, like different characters from the trick or treat season. Maybe they're like band posters. This is what I was thinking to myself, like, maybe people had like parties here, but I should have paid more attention that the posters were newer than 6 years old, but at the time I didn't notice. And then eventually we found a map, like a map for the employees, I guess, or people that were lost. We're right near some restrooms and we used that because there wasn't a you are here thing, because I guess if you work there, you should know, but if you were doing deliveries, you should still know. And there was also an exit up ahead. We were pretty much on the opposite side of the mall from where Dr. Julius J. Juice was. And we were kind of debating, should we try that exit? Or should we just try to get to Dr. Julius K. Juice? Boyd was like, we could cut right through the movie theater. You know, you guys remember the seniors when we were freshmen, they used to use this way to sneak into the movies. No, not when we were freshmen, Boyd. Oh, maybe it was like one of my older siblings then. And we could cut through the multiplex, go out of the multiplex, through the food court. And Boyd was working on mappings. And I said, wow, okay, it sounds like Boyd knows where we're going. And San and Josie were like, what if we just leave the mall? And Boyd said, well, there's the fences. I know if we leave, even if we, Boyd said, listen, we don't have to stay at Julius J. Juice. We'll just go in. We'll go out the back. And then Boyd said, but the door's locked. We'll go out like one of the adjoining stores. We'll get their door open. And I'll show you like where we'd come in and out anyway. And then we'll figure it out. We'll figure out what time it is. But don't worry, no pressure. But if we go out one of the other doors, we're just going to have to deal with the fences. And I don't know what, like, you know, I haven't been out those doors. And that's when we heard something very distinct, which was like it sounded like it was in the restroom. And it sounded like someone groaning, like they were like, going to use the restroom or full of woe. And it was long and sustained, but not a kind of groan where you twist your ankle, though. More, yeah, a groan of woe or of working hard on the throne. And we looked at each other, and instantly we started to run away as quietly and as fast as we could. And then we started trying doors, because all the doors from the stores emptied into this corridor, right? Or their storage rooms or their back rooms. We tried one door, nothing, not one door. And about the fifth door, Josie, it turned, and Josie opened it, and we all rushed in and closed the door, and we stood right outside the door panting, wondering if whoever was groaning could hear us, and wondering, okay, this is probably whoever's in charge of keeping an eye on this place, and now we definitely can't get busted, because, and Boyd said, don't worry, we'll just, we'll lay low here. Boyd locked the door, it had one of those little twists. And Boyd said, door's locked. We'll just stay here. Don't worry. We'll get ourselves back out. No problem. We got plenty of time. And Boyd was trying to keep us calm. We all kind of started to sink to the floor, kind of in exhaustion. But around the door, and I kind of looked around. It was dark, but it was like, boxes and stuff like that. A lot of empty shelves. And right as our breathing started to calm down and we started to kind of relax, a voice came from behind us. But it was a calm and reassuring voice, I want to tell you. And it said, hey, I'm glad you're here. I could use your help with something. And we all turned around and there was, there's someone there who needed our help, I guess. They were asking for our help with something. But I think that's a good time to stop. I'm getting tired here, spinning this old tale. But yeah, that's where we were. We were fine. Door was closed, and someone had asked for our help, and they seemed calm and kind, and they honestly could have used to. They had some questions. So for now, we'll leave it here. And we'll be back soon. Good night, everybody. All right, everybody, this is Scoots. I just want to thank everybody that recently joined us on Sleep With Me Plus. I want to thank Arn, Virginia, and Nicholas. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Becky, Heal, and Hillary. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Katie, Drew, and Frankie. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Lisa Marie, Cindy, and Angie. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Papa, Todd, and Liz. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Emma, Mariah, and Patrick. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. And Luke, Brianne, and Catherine. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Thanks, everybody who supports the show. Couldn't do without all of you, and I really appreciate all of you, for supporting the show directly, whether it's on Apple Podcasts or Sleep With Me Plus, or you support our sponsors, or you used to support the show on Patreon. I really appreciate the fact you ever supported the show at all. I couldn't do without all of you. And what else can I say? If you're not in a position to support the show, you could, and you say, man, I really want some of that Sleep With Me Plus stuff. You get ad-free episodes and story-only episodes just by referring people to the show. You sign up at sleepwithmepodcast.com/refer. You get your own referral link. And then as you share it and as people subscribe to the free podcast and listen to the free podcast, you get rewarded. So pretty sweet deal. And people have gotten a lot of referrals. So I appreciate it. So thanks. Thanks so much. And good night, everybody. All right, everybody. This is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review. And this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month. And what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now I have if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcast, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in the, my app is I think this is the I think this is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to the Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them, and yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. That's popping the all intro, all night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all-intro episode came out. And then we had... March is at bonus episodes. There was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, like we're getting ready, big announcement if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Salix. So that's cool. So, yeah, like that's something we're looking forward to doing. And, yeah, that was episode 1 of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off and episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut, that was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of like some news articles about experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series, I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4, and then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. And again, if you ever need support, support at supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is like, yeah, these this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, or and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in the, at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? And building your playlists from that podcast app. So yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com, and good night.